Welcome to the Real Estate Pros Podcast, the weekly show for real people in the business of residential sales and property management. Ready to talk insights and inspiration with today's guest, here's your host, Josh Cobb.
Hi everyone, welcome back to Real Estate Pros. Thank you so much for joining me this week. I am Josh Cobb and this is the weekly show for people in the business of residential sales and property management, where we interview real estate pros and industry experts from all across Australia and around the world, getting to know them a little bit more personally and the stories behind their success in the business of real estate to help you take your career to another level. And I'm excited about this week's show. I'll be joined by Daniel Kelly, the joint principal of Ray White in Yamba. Daniel is going to share with us his background in the real estate industry, what it was like making the transition from salesperson to business owner, and why you need to understand capacity in your real estate business. Daniel is one of the nicest people I know in the business of real estate, so I know you're going to enjoy this show. But before we catch up with Daniel, I have another discovery I'd like to share with you this week. So let's do that right now.
Today's show is brought to you by Consol, Australia's leading real estate agency software, offering property management, sales management, property data, and website solutions. Let us help you grow your business. Visit www.consol.com.au.
Now, something I know a lot of people in real estate have trouble doing is keeping track of receipts for work or keeping their logbooks up to date, or being able to find any of this information around tax time. So this week's discovery I'd like to introduce you to is called Expensify. And what this app allows you to do is track all of that information all in one place, all inside the app. It's also got built-in GPS tracking, so you can start and stop your logbook each time you hop in the car and then export all of that information when you need it. It even syncs with programs like Xero or QuickBooks, which I know your bookkeepers will love. It's a super easy app to use. It's available on Apple and Android. It's free. And if you want an easier way to keep your logbook and receipts and all that sort of thing up to date, you should definitely go and check it out. Go to www.expensify.com and I'll spell that out for you. It's expensify.com and go and check it out. And with that, let's transition over to this week's featured guest. Well, I'm excited about introducing our guest today, Daniel Kelly. Daniel is the joint principal and licensee of Ray White Yamba. With a long list of awards and recognitions to his name, Daniel has been placed within the top ranking of sales agents within the Ray White Group. And his experience and long track record of great results has given Daniel the ability to assist his team in building a successful career of their own in real estate. Daniel, I've given our listeners just a brief overview, but take a moment, tell us a little bit more about you personally, and then give us an overview of the business.
Sure. Thanks, Josh. Me personally, I started in real estate at the back end of 2005, so this year will mark my 10th year in the industry.
Long service life.
Nearly there. Hopefully I'll get to take some time, but certainly enjoying what I do, though, so I guess holidays are only a bit of a bonus. But in that time, I've gone from being a salesperson through to now a role in the business that's more so about managing the business and running it. So there's myself as a principal and my dad, Jim, is also our other principal. So I've been doing that role now for about 4 years, it'll be, this year. And during that time, obviously, there's been a few challenges along the way. It's been a pretty steep learning curve as well. But certainly the last couple of years, we've had some good success and really starting to make some good inroads. So, overall, our business now is a team of eight. When I first started 10 years ago, we were a team of just four. So, essentially, we've doubled in size. I foresee a little bit more growth left in us. Yep, we certainly need it to happen if we are to become bigger and better at what we do. So, Yamba is a town, a fairly small town, population of just over 8,000, 8,500 it is these days. We've got about 4,000 homes or residences in the area. Market itself is an interesting little one in the sense that we can sell anything from a little two-bedroom unit for around 200 grand through to something more substantial on the beachfront for, $5.5 million. So it's a very diverse marketplace. Sales are in the vicinity usually annually of about $80 million in total. So fairly small area, but it packs a big punch.
Mm. And you've got three offices, haven't you? Is there Yamba, Grafton and McLean? Have I got that right?
That's right, yeah. So spread within 45 minutes of each other from one end of the Clarence Valley to the other.
Great. And in Yamba itself, it's quite a transient tourist area. Have you got a lot of holiday accommodation and that sort of thing? Does your office look after that side of the business as well?
We do, yeah, permanent rentals and holiday rentals. Holiday rentals are fairly labour intensive, particularly at this time of year. It's our biggest season of the year is, of course, the summer holidays. So it's very labour intensive, but also a fairly rewarding part of our industry as well, I think.
Yeah, and well, that's actually quite. Let's just delve into that just for a moment while you're on the topic of holiday accommodation. And I know your office does have a strong focus on property management. For our listeners who aren't familiar with how holiday accommodation works, if they do have a property management department, what would be the differences between the two, I guess, in terms of the workload and possibly the commission structure as well? How much do you charge compared to normal property management?
Yeah, sure. There is a difference in fee that is essentially based around the workload. So at the moment we manage just over 50 holiday properties, and that's obviously our focus is doing our best to grow that. But 50 properties at the moment under our management for holiday accommodation. The differences between holiday accommodation and permanent property management. The holiday accommodation is nearly a business of its own in the sense that you need to promote them completely separately and in vastly different ways. You do need to ensure, you know, with a holiday accommodation structure, you're really focusing on occupancy rates and keeping your investors' returns as consistent as they possibly can be. Permanent management, of course, you can set, you know, a 12-month tenancy in place and it can, all going well, can be as good as just simply leaving it sit. Whereas accommodation, you're working with the seasons and, of course, trying to focus heavily too on your off-season, off-peak times where you really need to work hard to keep your occupancy rates up. So there is a difference in fee structure. We're 8.8% inclusive of GST on our permanent rentals and 13.2% inclusive on our holiday rentals.
Wow, so there's a bit of a difference there.
There is a difference, yeah. And if you can get that side of your business working well, it is a rewarding business in itself, certainly worth having. Not to mention, of course, that, you know, that the type of properties that you manage from a holiday accommodation perspective tend to be in the prestige end of our marketplace. So certainly well and truly worth having an association with them as a business.
Sure. Well, let's turn the spotlight onto you for a moment, Daniel. When I was researching for this interview, I noticed that you were recognised as being in the top 10 for regional sales in the Ray White Group for New South Wales. Can you explain for our listeners what the criteria or results required for an award such as this?
Sure. There isn't necessarily a set criteria. Essentially, to make the top 10 of salespeople for regional New South Wales, it's purely based on number of deals and commission earned on a gross basis. So that can obviously vary depending on, I guess, how the other 9 in the top 10 perform. So it's actually, last year was the first time I made it to the top 10 for the state in what will be 10 years this year. So it's taken me a while, but
congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. It's definitely one of the more significant awards that I've managed to pick up in my time in the industry. So the top 10 award, certainly very satisfying to have achieved it. It's been one of my long time goals to have achieved it since I started in the industry. Essentially for me to have made the top 10 in the past. And I guess that the beauty about our group and brand has been that, people are continually improving in our industry. And what used to be a case of, to make the top 10, you'd essentially have to write more than $400,000 in fees for the year. That was my goal initially, to try and make the top 10. I actually had to adjust that over a period of time to make sure that I was keeping up with what was required. And last year I finally, I guess, made that adjustment to the right level and got into the top 10. So great to receive a bit of recognition for it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a fantastic achievement. And we often hear the 20,000 foot view of someone's success in real estate. But here on this podcast, Daniel, we want to take it down to that grand level of actual moments in time in your career where you felt like you've either failed or succeeded. Can you tell us a story, take us there with you, of a moment in your career where you felt like you'd failed? Tell us what happened and how it made you feel.
Sure. I wouldn't necessarily say I've ever felt like giving up. I've always been very passionate about real estate. And when I got started into it and made some inroads, I suppose, into the industry and got settled, I was pretty certain that it was the right thing for me to be doing. So I've never necessarily felt like giving up. But I guess the point of a struggle or something that I found difficult in the industry came about when I stepped more into the role of running a business, more so than just simply being a salesperson. being a salesperson provides you with a lot of freedom, which is one of the things that I really love about our industry. Being involved in the running of a business, though, that a lot of that freedom is taken away from you, at least in the initial phases anyway. One thing that I essentially struggled with at the start of all of that was trying to, build a culture within our business where our team felt valued and our team wanted to remain part of our organisation. So that was, one of the very early struggles. We did have a fairly significant staff turnover when I first stepped into the role. I won't be as naive to say that I changed that overnight. It did continue for a period of time when I first stepped into the role. But essentially, I think I've managed to overcome it to a degree, at least. Anyway, there's always going to be people that, just the nature of our town, I suppose. People will transition in and out of our area. That's unfortunately just how it is. But in the last 4 years, we've had the lowest level of staff turnover that we've ever had. So I'm pretty pleased with that. But it was definitely one thing that I felt quite difficult to deal with to start with.
Sure. Well, I think moving into that business owner role from that sales position would be something that I'm sure a lot of salespeople that have done that transition, they've been challenged with as well. Is there something that sticks out in your mind of a moment where it really hit home and you started questioning that sort of that transition?
Yeah, look, it probably really hit home for me when we had one of our property managers leave our business as a result of work taking them elsewhere out of the local area, and their family member, actually her husband, got a job elsewhere. It was better for their family to make that transition. They left, which was not fine, but obviously we were willing to deal with it. We employed someone else to fill the role. Unfortunately, that only lasted 6 months before we were back finding another person to try and fill the role as well. The penny probably dropped for me where I felt as though we needed to start protecting our business a little bit more. And unfortunately at the time, that's how I saw it, but felt as though we needed to protect our business a little bit more from staff turnover. Consistency, I mean, ideally you'd have one property manager that would be with you from start to finish of your days in running a business, but of course that very rarely happens. But yeah, look, that one point in time for me was when that 6 month period came to an end. The replacement employee finished up with us as well, and I had to find someone else. I pretty well decided at that point in time that I was going to draw the line in the sand and accept that perhaps property management within our business was being looked at as being, I guess you'd nearly call it the ugly cousin of the sales department.
Sure. Not an uncommon term. I think it's been, that term gets bandied around quite a lot.
Yeah. I figured that, property managers felt as though they were, second best to the sales department of the business. And I felt that wasn't necessarily right in the sense that, the value of our business is essentially determined by how our property management department performs. That was something that I really decided to stress to the team when we found that the next property manager to join our team. We had a bit of a team meeting, and the discussion about that was more around how important the business of property management is. And effectively without it, we may not necessarily have a company, full stop. So it was good to have the whole team come on board and accept that property management is a vital part of our business. There was perhaps a little bit of negativity from the sales department as well into the property management department, in the sense that the sales department also saw property management as being second best, whereas these days we now consider ourselves to be one team and both property management and sales being very crucial to the running of our business. So, if I had to draw a line in the sand and say, well, that was the point where we reached the low point of the staff turnover matter, that was definitely it.
That's interesting. I'd love to delve into that just a little bit. There's some of the that point in time where you sat the whole team down and spoke about the business side of the, and the importance of the value of the business. What sort of things were shared in that conversation? Was it around, really taking it towards the end of, what a rent roll could be worth and that sort of things? Or what sort of, really, how did you educate them on that sort of thing, Dan?
Yeah, sure. The discussion that we had was, how you would look at your business as a business owner, or taking it to another extreme as an accountant from the outside looking in on your business. And I explained to the team how our business would be looked at if we didn't have a property management department. And of course, sales can be, depending on how you run and structure your business, of course, sales can be a fairly I wouldn't say seasonal, but they are, I guess, affected by external factors to your business to a large degree as well. So, you know, the one consistent point in our business from a value point of view and an income point of view was very much about our property management department. Now we know that we can bank on, if we've got 200, 250 managements, then we can bank on an income of this amount per month, you know. And from our point of view in trying to budget a running of a business, valuing a business, all of those things, the property management income is vital. And obviously on that side of the business, when you're managing at the moment for us, it's just a fraction over 200 properties. When you're managing that number of properties, you've essentially got a very well-established relationship with owners of just in excess of 200 properties. So you're talking a good solid 200 clients amongst that. It's a very substantial pool of clients for your business when you consider that typically your sellers will come and go during the course of the year, and obviously you'll try and maintain contact with them, but the one consistent point of your business is your property management department. So to me, it was really important that we nurtured that and accepted that it had a very significant value to us. And the team, luckily for us, I suppose, the team really took that on board. We now, you know, our end of year Christmas parties, we have a very big focus on how the property management department has performed during the year. Our catch-ups during the year with the whole team we will also stress how the property management department is performing, where perhaps in the past we didn't really focus on that as much. A lot of the talk was around our market share for sales and personal best months for sales only, whereas, you know, at the end of this month we get to sit down and celebrate a personal best for our holiday management department for the best summer that we've ever had. So it's about, I guess, shifting the focus to a degree. We're still obviously here to reward and celebrate the successes of our sales team. Nothing's really changed there, but we've essentially implemented, I guess, the same celebration of success in our property management department.
Sure, sure. And I think that's a big mistake that a lot of salespeople make when they do transition into the business owner position, is really not look at the business as a business. Certainly they're fantastic salespeople. But really what you've done, Daniel, and to your credit, is really look at the whole of business and how that contributes to the value what the business is worth as a whole. And certainly, yeah, at the end of the month, the sales get wiped off the whiteboard, and in property management, it just keeps going, doesn't it?
Exactly right. Yeah, it's one of the great conversations I've had about a property management business was actually with a guy that you interviewed in December, I believe it was, Hazley Cush.
And, yes, we know Hazley well.
Yeah, spend 5 minutes talking with him about property management, you'll understand just how
important 5 minutes.
if you're lucky, you'll understand just how important and complex a property management business can be. So,
yeah, no, lovely guy, great team,
very much so. Mm. Yeah.
Well, let's take it to the other end of the spectrum. You may have alluded to a couple of moments in that segment there, Daniel. Can you tell us a story that sticks out in your mind of a moment where you felt like the formula you had in place was the right way to go about growing a real estate business? And again, take us there with you. Is there a moment that stands out, a client that you had, or something that a staff member said, something that sticks out in your mind of a moment where you felt like we got it, we got the right formula here, we're on the right path?
Yeah, from an overall growth perspective, I believe that point in time we were just discussing was probably the more significant as a turning point for us. The following year after we had that moment, we actually had our strongest growth year for property management that we've ever had, even to this date. So that was a very significant turning point from a business perspective and a growth perspective. Since then, I guess there's been another moment in time, which was actually only the start of last year, where we'd made some adjustments to the running of our sales department as well. Previously, we'd been, I guess, what you would call a transactional-based business, where we were simply out in the marketplace shopping around for the people in our marketplace that were looking to sell at that point in time. The adjustment, I guess, that we made was, which I now am a firm believer is the right formula for us, is more about being a business of building relationships and, I guess, being that real estate agent for people before they even know they need a real estate agent. That last year provided us with some excellent success, to the point where we actually had two record months in the 1 year for us as a sales department. So to me, that speak some volumes. We really nutted down at the start of last year from a sales and property management department what our non-negotiables had to be to achieve the success that we want to achieve and continue to grow. I guess the one thing that stood out for me midway through last year and amongst all of that was you really need to understand capacity in your business and realize that in order to grow, you have to have the team to allow you to grow as well. It took me a little while to get my head around that last year in the sense that we'd made it to the 200 managements point and we were hovering around that number back and forth by, you know, two or three managements each month for quite some time. And the penny ended up dropping where it was just clear that we just didn't simply have enough people in our property management department to allow us to grow to the next step. So, as I said, the year prior to that, we'd had our most significant growth year that we'd ever had. For us as a business, we put on 52 managements during that year, so one a week as it turned out to be. We weren't able to achieve that last year simply because we'd reached capacity as a result of the growth during the previous year. So having an understanding of that has certainly been a great help to us now in being able to plan the next step forward for us. Immediately we've added another member to our property management team and immediately our rent roll has started to grow again in the last 2 months. So, and in a big way at the moment, as I sit here today and talk to you, we actually have no available rentals. Our vacancy rate sits at 0%, which it hasn't been for quite some time. It's about understanding capacity and I guess that's been probably one of the key learnings for me during last year was certainly that.
That's really interesting. I think a lot of business owners, when they look at the rent roll side of things, and I understand that you've got a strong focus and it comes across the way you speak, Daniel, that is a, you look at property management as the equal cousin to sales. Yeah. And really what a lot of business owners, I believe the mistake they do make is look at how can I get more properties out of the property managers I have and really not looking at filling those empty seats first. And as you said, understanding capacity and the fastest way of doubling your rent roll is doubling your team. Would you agree?
Absolutely. I think one of the key things that stood out for me last year was that the initial reaction when you want to grow can simply be just to expect the people that you have to grow more. What we don't really appreciate at that point in time is when they've reached a capacity in their role, in order for them to bring more work in, they have to start essentially deleting tasks out of their week in order to take on the additional workload. So before you know it, your level of service is reduced. They'll start to cut corners inevitably, whether they really want to or not. That's unfortunately just the reality of being overloaded in your role. So essentially, you're doing your best to bring on more managements, but providing a weaker service, which in turn you tend to find you will start to lose managements as a result of it. So you're absolutely right. Doubling your team, you create that capacity to double your rent roll.
Yeah, no, fantastic. And you alluded to the campaign that you ran around the local area. Can you explain a little bit more about what you were doing there? You mentioned that you were talking to just people in the local market about educating them and really wanting to be that local agent that was that, you know, front of mind for the local market. What was involved in that campaign?
Yeah, so from that point of view, we set out on a bit of a journey, I suppose, last year to just simply provide people that own property in the area, whether they'd be investors or owner-occupiers, simply provide them with some information on the marketplace. It was all based on, you know, what properties had sold in their area, what the average sale price was, whether or not there was any capital growth being experienced in the area, what types of properties were in demand at the time. As much information as we could possibly arm them with to consider what we had to offer them, just purely in the way of information, to consider that to be valuable to them. Essentially, as a result of that, we were then able to inform people that information was actually available to them quarterly or monthly or however often they felt they needed it. And now as a result of that, we've managed to build up a database of property owners in our area that we're able to keep in contact with, whether that be monthly, quarterly. We do our best to try and identify where they are in the cycle of are they considering selling or are they just purely happy to sit where they are and continue to receive information from us. And that determines how frequently we touch base with them. So It's been a great adjustment for our business. We've received a lot of positive feedback from the marketplace about it. We've had a few thank you letters come back from the information that we sent out late last year as an annual report on our marketplace. One property owner in particular sent us a letter back thanking us for the annual report and said it's probably one of the more detailed bits of information he's received on the local property market since he's owned his property in the last 15, 20 years, I think it was. So the feedback's been very, very positive. This year we will, I guess, shift a little bit more of the same process, but we'll shift it over towards our property management department a little bit more to implement a similar process for property management as well as sales again. Just being mindful that we want both departments to be as equally as important as one another. That's I guess one of the more significant changes for us to make this year as part of the property management department.
And is that content, is that something that you create at an office level, or is it something that comes from your head office? I know your head office is fantastic at disseminating really helpful content out to their offices, but was this campaign something that you guys created yourself?
It's a bit of a mix. We're really, really fortunate with the franchise group that we're with, in the sense that they create a lot of tools for us to be able to generate this type of information. And we certainly make use of that as best we can. It has been a bit of a mix with both the information that they provide us with, the tools that they provide us, and also just simply us coming up with their own stats, figures and information to provide to our database as well. So fortunate in the sense that our corporate office gives us a nice, fluffy, colourful reports that we can put together. At the end of the day, the little added details to that, I suppose, are up to us to generate.
Yeah, great. No, look, keeping it hyper-local, I think that's one thing that, I do agree that your particular head office does a fantastic job of providing the tools, but the local offices are always the best ones to keep it hyper-local and providing content that's relevant to the local market. So, no, congratulations. I think that's a great job. Taking the tools that are given to you and putting your local take on it. Well, the three biggest challenges every person working in real estate faces, Daniel, when marketing their services is either creating awareness of their brand, generating leads, or increasing loyalty and advocacy of their current clients. Can you give our listeners an overview of some other marketing strategies, technologies, and philosophies behind solving some of these challenges?
I think when it comes to creating some loyalty and advocacy in particular for your business or indeed your brand, it really boils down to the experience that people have with you, your team, your brand and your business as a whole. A big focus for us has been about creating that experience, not just necessarily being the person that, leases a property for a landlord, doesn't talk to them again until maintenance is required, or when you shoot out their end of month statement at the end of the month. We're trying to take that to the next level, I guess, in the sense that particularly now the first 2 or 3 months of having a new management, that's really the time where we need to be making sure that we're meeting our clients' expectations, because I believe, at least anyway, during that time, things you'll either confirm for the client that they've made the right decision or the wrong one. And it's during that time that they're, I guess, watching your every move to make sure that, their decision has been the right one and that they're comfortable to leave their property with you to manage. So during that time, we're implementing processes where either myself or Jim, as the other principal, are contacting those landlords. They're getting a letter from us thanking them for their business. We're following up. The property management department is following up after the first end of month statement to make sure they've received it, to make sure they're able to digest it and understand it. Every little step along the way, we're just making sure that the settling in of every new management is going as smooth as it possibly can. On the sales side of things, I know when I first started in real estate, you'd settle on a property, your purchaser would walk through the door that afternoon, they'd be absolutely ecstatic about the fact that they're just about to move into their new home, and you'd hand them a bunch of keys and say congratulations, and that was essentially their experience. A few years back, I bought myself a new car, and that's essentially an investment that's at least a quarter of what you would invest in a home or an investment property, and I had two big bunches of flowers in the boot of my car when I popped the boot, when I collected it. I had a congratulatory card, a bottle of wine, key rings, all sorts of things that they, and then, you know, the week after I had a call from the salesperson to say, how's it all going? Are you enjoying your new car? Is there anything more that we can help you with? The following month, the sales department, the service department rang, said, how's your car running? You've got to be just about due for your first service. Can we book you in? Can we organize a hike, a loan car for you for the day? It was an amazing experience for me just in purchasing a car. And I thought, geez, you know, if that's the effort that someone can make in simply selling you a car, it seemed ridiculous to me that someone could make the biggest life investment in purchasing a home and just be handed a bunch of keys and said, you know, congratulations, best of luck with it. Call me if you ever want to sell it, you know. And that's really how I believe our industry used to be. So, you know, now it needs to be a little bit more than that. You know, it needs to be, in my view, obviously you still present them with the keys. Do that in a nice way, maybe as part of a gift box, and a big bunch of flowers is always nice too. And at the moment we're just having massive big bows ordered to put on out the front doors of the property for when they arrive at the home for the first time. Little things where the experience is something for them to be talking to their friends, colleagues about. Before you know it, obviously the word's around town that you're not just a bloke that's there to take his commission check and run. You do care. And then we're actually just this year implementing a more formal after sales service for our clients, which I'm really excited about. Everything from, you know, offering them a handyman for free for a couple of hours, a couple of weeks after they've settled in, just to fix any little, you know, squeaky doors or door handles or light switches or whatever it might be, you know. So little things like that can go a very long way, in my opinion, to creating advocates and obviously a whole lot of loyalty in your brand as well.
And I think it's something to remember for any, especially the business owners that are listening, Daniel, that everyone in your local market, they don't compare the service that they get from Ray White Nyemba to ABC Real Estate Nyemba. They are comparing the service they get from Ray White Nyemba to the service they get everywhere. Yep. And I think you've alluded to that when you went and bought that new car, and you're looking at ways of incorporating that, because it certainly, if someone else is getting that service experience and they're coming to your office and they're not getting it, they're really going to compare that experience to what they got elsewhere.
Exactly. Yep. Mm. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Daniel, thanks so much for your input so far. We're about to hit the fast five, where I'll ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. But before we do, let's hear our fast fact of the week. This week's fast fact comes from the 2015 State of Marketing Report published by Salesforce Marketing Cloud. It found a big change in where companies are intending to spend their digital marketing dollars this year. A whopping 70% of businesses from across Australia and around the world said they will substantially increase their social media advertising spend in 2015. We have clients generating over 100 leads per week by combining helpful content with social media advertising. It is by far the best return on investment for us and for our clients when it comes to generating leads. I'm keen to hear what's working for you. Drop me a line via our website, Facebook, or Twitter. Well, Daniel, we've reached one of my favorite parts of the show, where I'll ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. Are you ready?
I am. Yep.
Fantastic. Name one person who has been an inspiration to you throughout your career and why.
If I had to narrow it down to one person, I'd say my dad. He was essentially the reason why I got into real estate to start with. It was an industry that appealed to me, and he certainly was happy to lead the way for me to enter the industry. So if I had to narrow it down to one person, it would certainly be him. I guess role models and inspirations over my time in real estate have changed somewhat too, from, you know, my dad initially, as I said, through to a good mate of mine by the name of Tom Collingwood. When I first got into the industry, he was a salesperson in Grafton, very successful. Essentially at that point in time, I aspired to be a lot more like him. He was very good at profile building, which was certainly really appealed to me. More recently, where I've become more involved with the running of a business, overseeing property management, and only late last year joining the Ray White corporate auctioneer team, I guess someone that I've started to look up to more to has actually been Hazeley Cush, who's been great value. I shared just a cab ride from him from our corporate office in Sydney to the airport during last year, and 20-30 minutes in the car, and I couldn't help myself but just ask him a few questions about our property management business in particular. And before you know it, you get out of the cab at the airport and you've got 1,000 ideas that you need to sit down and in the waiting lounge for your flight, write down on paper so you don't forget. He's a very motivated character, very, very energetic, and has a great way of dealing with people, to understands people very, very well. So, he's certainly been someone that I have looked up to in more recent times as well.
Daniel, what is your favourite thing in the world to do when you're not at the office?
If I'm not at the office, I really love my golf. I don't play as much golf these days as I would like to, but I certainly love it as a sport. Otherwise, there's every chance you'd probably find me spending time with family or out in the boat on the river, and particularly if it's a day like it is outside today, I'd love to be out there. So we've got a great river around town, and it's very nice to be out there on the boat relaxing when you get the chance.
What is your favourite business book that you've ever read, and why?
Definitely the best book I've ever read that's had some influence on me in the real estate industry was How to Win Friends and Influence People. I read it very early in the piece when I first started in real estate. Definitely the best book I think I could have read at the time.
We're going to have to start asking Amazon or someone for royalties to that book, because I think it's been recommended on almost every show.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, if there's anyone listening who hasn't got a copy of Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, you have to go and get it now, all right? So now, Daniel, what is your favourite technology resource that you use daily to help you run a better business?
Best piece of technology for us in our business is my desktop. We use it as a database. We really just could not survive without it.
Fantastic. Now, it's often said that the success of a real estate business is measured by how many properties they sell or how many properties they manage. But if you had to choose one thing, just one, that prevents people in real estate from achieving success, however they measure it, what would it be, and what would your advice be to overcome it?
The one thing I think people manage poorly in the real estate industry is their freedom. It's an industry that can provide you with a bit of freedom, unlike any other industry, really, in my opinion. And as such, you've really got the ability to succeed to a very high level or fail dismally as well. That how you manage that freedom, to me, is essentially the difference between succeeding and not succeeding. So I guess the best advice I could give someone to overcome that is to get some structure and be very consistent with their approach. I think if you get that structure and be consistent with it, you're destined to be successful, really.
Well, Daniel, I have one last question for you to leave our listeners with some motivation for the week ahead. What's your favourite success quote, and how do you think people in real estate can relate to it?
A great quote I read, I actually read it online some time back. A great quote that I read was, "Success is nothing more than disciplines practiced daily, and failure is nothing more than a few small errors repeated daily." It's one of those, it really struck a chord with me at the time that I read it, and it's so true. It's so true. I think if you accept that and understand that, you know, those disciplines that you need to do, the tasks that you just simply can't afford to avoid, do those right, do them consistently, I think you really can't go wrong in our industry. It's just about making sure you get those disciplines right.
Well, listeners, you can find all of the resources that Daniel has shared with us today, along with all of the show notes, by visiting our website at steps.com.au/Daniel Kelly. Well, Daniel, on behalf of our listeners, I'd like to thank you for your time, knowledge, and advice today. I know that people are going to resonate with the stories you've shared. How can people get in touch with you or find out more about Ray White Yamba?
Sure. Thanks for having me. Firstly, it's been an absolute pleasure. I hope that the listeners have got something out of our chat.
No, thank you.
Far as people contacting me, very easy. I'm only a phone call away. I'm happy for you to throw my mobile number on your website if you'd like. Otherwise, people can just email me at daniel.kelly@raywhite.com.
Daniel, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot, Josh.
Well, that's it for this week. Thank you so much for joining me. If you do enjoy the Real Estate Pros podcast, we love reviews. So please head over to iTunes and tell us how the show has helped you. And whether you did or you didn't enjoy today's show, we'd love to hear from you about how we could improve. Because at the end of the day, this show was all started to help you, the Real Estate Pro. I hope you have a great week ahead, and I look forward to having you join us again next week. Bye for now.